chapter 10. Turtling, right? Just because it's a slow-going thing, going verse by verse in the Bible. That's what we've been doing here for ages, as long as I've been here. I mean, well, not as long as I've been here, but since Dave came to the church and Brother Felipe, they've always gone through verse by verse, and it's a good practice. I mean, it's a nice way to learn the Bible. It's a simple way to learn the Bible. But we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words, and we thank you, Lord, that you sent them down here, Lord, and what a blessing they are. And Lord, we take for granted how important they are. Everything you want us to know is in this Bible, Lord. And I'm sure there's more things you're going to tell us about when we get to heaven, but everything you want us to know is in the Bible today for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray now that our hearts and our eyes would be open. And we pray for those that are traveling to come to church today, Lord, and that you give them grace to get here safely. And now we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be attentive to your words. For Christ's sake we pray, amen. Okay. Chapter 10. I think we left off in verse 15. We'll start in verse 11. We'll just read down real quick. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not, be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. Basically, the worthiness is if they're receiving the message. If they're receiving the preachers, if they're receiving the message that they're bringing, which is they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Basically, it's cursing. It's cursing them. If you don't receive the words of God, the curse of God is upon you. The Old Testament ends in a curse. If you don't receive the gospel, if you don't receive that you're saved by grace through faith, then the curse of God is on you, right? And the law is a curse. That law is going to you're going to be judged by that in the last day. And so it's the same thing with these Jews. If they don't receive this message, if they don't receive the preacher and they don't receive the message, then God's curse is on them. And they're shake off the dust of their feet. We went through a little bit about a guy that cursed a town last week. Man, you don't want that to happen. I mean, the Bible says right here, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Right? What did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, that is a cursed city. Nobody's ever built there again. There's nobody living in Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. And so God judged that city and he cursed them. And so why will it be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, God destroyed that place with fire and brimstone, right? Why will it be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because all they had was Lot preaching to them. They had one person preaching to them. That's all they had. And the nation of Israel, they have the scriptures. They had the Old Testament prophets. They have Jesus Christ here on earth healing them and casting out devils and doing all these miracles right in front of their eyes. Did Sodom and Gomorrah have that? No, they didn't have that at all. And so they've got the apostles preaching to them and healing all manners of sickness and diseases. And as a sign to confirm that what they were saying it was from God, and yet they still reject. They still reject. I've got a reference here, Luke 12:47. I don't know why it's there, but we'll go look it up. You know, that's why God gave us a Bible. Because, you know, I can write down a note here and not know why I wrote it down a week later, right? But God gave us a Bible so we would never forget what He has to say to us. It's written down. We can go back and forth and look and search this things, search this stuff out. Luke 12. I don't even know what it says yet. 12:47. I don't know why that's there. Oh, yeah. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. With many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of the stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. So you see, it looks like there's a different punishment for people that had more. The Bible says, to whom much is, it says right here, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so the Sodom and Gomorrah got wiped off the face of the earth with fire and brimstone. But that was done in seconds. I mean, imagine God saying, that's it, you're done. And within seconds, the city is burned up. And you look at what's going to happen to that Jew. The world has not seen what's going to happen to them. Ever. It's going to be so bad for that Jew. And he's going to have to go through so much punishment, so much judgment in that tribulation. Why? Why do they have to go through all those years of judgment, all those years of death and suffering? When Sodom and Gomorrah, they were done like that. The nation of Israel, they've got a time, it's called a Jacob's trouble, that they're going to have to go through. And they're going to have to endure these things. And so their punishment is greater than Sodom and Gomorrah's, because they got to suffer longer, all right? And so that's the idea there, that their suffering is going to be more than Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah got punished. They got judged. But Israel's going to get judged more, and it's going to be for a longer duration. Matthew 10. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Folks, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's called his disciples. He's getting ready to send them out. But before he does, he's giving them a little information about what the mission, what their mission is going to be like. And what do wolves do? I mean, think about it. If you're a disciple of God and God's Jesus Christ is standing right there, God manifests in the flesh, and he says, oh, by the way, where you're going, there's going to be wolves all around you. You're going to be right in the middle of them. All right? And what do wolves do? Can you imagine what the disciples are thinking? Wolves, they eat people. They eat things. They devour things. And Israel is likened unto sheep. And so he's sending them forth out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Verily, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep. He's telling them, you're sheep, and you're going to be in the midst of wolves, and they're going to want to eat you, right? And so, folks, people that are getting into the ministry, those that have been in the ministry, need to tell those that are going into the ministry what it's really like. Right? And I don't see all the stuff behind the scenes in the church, but I'm sure if you want to sit down and ask Dave, he'll tell you some things that you may think twice about getting into the ministry. And I know one thing, when you're in a position of leadership over people, and you make a wrong decision, those people are going to suffer for it. You say the wrong thing, give the wrong command, do the wrong thing at the wrong time, and people are looking, and people are going to fall off the face of the earth. They're going to just disappear out of church. Out in the work field, if I tell somebody to do something, and they count on me, and what I'm telling them to do is safe and secure, and they do something and they die, I'm responsible for that. Right? If a Christian goes out into the ministry after a pastor said, "Oh yeah, everything will be fine, God's good, and you know, you'll have a nice life and all this stuff," and they go out and they die, the wolves eat them up. And they die. And they're dead Christians sitting there walking around never doing anything else for the Lord because they went out there with a false pretense. And so what Jesus is doing is he's telling them, hey, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a very, very hard mission for you because there's people out there that want to devour you up. There's wolves out there. And so Jesus warns his disciples before they went that it was going to be a tough road. And they were going to have to be careful. Because not only are there wolves out there, but they're going to make it look like they're sheep. And so they're disguised. And they look like they're upstanding citizens and upstanding leaders, religious leaders of the community. But in reality, inside, they want to kill them. They want to eat them. And so he says, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves." What? Is Jesus telling his disciples to go around deceiving people? We know that the devil is a deceiver, right? He's a serpent. He's a deceiver. No, that's not what Jesus is doing here. If you study what a snake does when it's around danger, all right, then you'll understand what Jesus is trying to tell, what he's telling his disciples here. He's saying, you know, I'm telling you that there's wolves out there. So what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to expose yourselves unduly to attack. The wolves are going to eat you. They're already there. I'm telling you that they're there. And if you look at what a snake does a snake go out and right underneath a cow to get trampled? No. Does a snake hides from danger, folks. A snake just wants to be left alone and eat its prey, be left alone. It doesn't want confrontation with anything. And that's why rattlesnakes have rattlers on them, so that they can warn you. It's a system of warning so that, hey, stay away from me. You don't know what I am, but I'm something. I'm over here underneath the rock. If you walk over here, you might get bitten. But it doesn't want to bite anybody. And so the idea is there's things out there that want to eat you. There's things out there that want to come after you and kill you and knock you out of the ministry. Don't expose yourselves unduly to those things. Don't go looking for a fight, because if you do, you're just a sheep. And if you go looking for a fight with a bunch of wolves, they're going to eat you up and have a nice meal. And you'll be the destruction of yourselves, because I warned you about it. And so, not only that, but I want you to be harmless as a dove. In other words, if the wolves are coming at you, and maybe they found you out, and they're coming, don't stick around and provoke the enemy. A dove will never do that. If a dove knows there's an enemy there, you hear this, it's a little chirping sound, and all you do is see wings in the back end of the dove anymore. I mean, I've got some dove decoys next to my chicken coop, all right? I got this chicken run with, it's made out of metal, and I got these doves up there. I just wanted to see what would happen. And so this dove comes flying up, flies right up on a wire about 60 feet away. And then it sees me in the yard a little bit, and then I start walking up to it. And as soon as I start walking up to this dove, gone, right? They don't want confrontation. They don't stick around and provoke. They don't come down and fly around my head and then sit up on the chicken coop and just cheep at me. I'll go in and get my BB gun and have a nice meal. But I just wanted to see if I could draw these doves in with decoys, and sure enough, they do come in. But he says, hey, don't provoke, don't stick around and provoke the enemy, because doves never do that. Avoid conflict if at all possible. Because why? It's more important that you get the message to people that need it than for you to pick a fight with somebody that's going to eat you up. Or stick around and provoke them. There's more things to do. There's more important things, more things that it has to attain to what I need done on this earth than for you to stick around because of your pride and want to fight a bunch of wolves. Verse 17. But beware of men. So now, here we go. We're figuring out who these wolves are, right? Men. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And so these wolves are men. And councils here in the Bible are courts of justice, and they're courts of religion. And all synagogues had them. They all had councils, and they tried all cases that didn't go before the Sanhedrin. Which that particular court system would extend beyond the synagogues. It was like our Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. But these councils, these synagogues, they could do some things. They could do three things. Number one is that they could excommunicate you, right? John 9:22. There's this guy Jesus heals. Let's see. Yeah, here's a blind man. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not, verse 16, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. The other said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division amongst them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? They're saying, hey, we don't believe that this Jesus healed this blind guy, right? So they want to gather some information and get some facts about this case before they move forward with it. Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know not that this is our son. They're scared to death of these people. They're just men, right? We know not that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. What? Oh, okay. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And so the council, these people could put somebody out of the synagogue where you couldn't go back there anymore. And the parents didn't want that. They feared that. They would be an outcast amongst the Jews. And so they fear God, they fear men. They don't fear God, they fear men. And you know, That's the kind of state of that this country is in. People fear men more than they do God. Man writes a bunch of laws. They write whatever law they want. They don't really tell you. They hide it in these other bills. And then all of a sudden, you're breaking the law when you do something. Right? And then they try to throw the book at you. So you're like, whoa, what am I done? What did I do? You just want to give me a little knowledge of what's going on. Or, you know, ignorance is no excuse for the law or whatever they say. But they still give you tickets. They still do all this other stuff. But they're trying to create a state of fear. They're trying to create a state of fear in people's lives. And that's what the Jews did. And so they would throw somebody out of the synagogue. Well, you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, you're not coming here anymore. And they'd cast them out. Secondly, they could scourge somebody. Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. And you can kind of see the tactics of these people and why Jesus is saying, hey, you need to be warned of these people, that there's wolves out there and they want to eat you up. They want to destroy your ministry. And they do that by Deuteronomy, did I say 22? Oh, I'm sorry, 22, 24. 22. Here's the statutes of adultery and rape. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones, that they may die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so shalt thou put away evil from amongst you. So they could, they could stone you. Look at, that's stoning. So that's the third one, stoning. Look in Deuteronomy 25 now. You're right, it was 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 3. We'll start in verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. What's one more stripe after 40, right? If somebody gets beaten 40 times, what's one more? But that's the Bible law, all right? And the Bible gives these laws for a reason. To me, the guy would be dead after 40 stripes with a whip. Man, I don't even want to think about that one. But they could stone a guy, they could scourge him, and they could throw him out of the synagogue. That's the power that these people had. And so they created a state of fear amongst people. Nobody ever wanted to mess with them, the council. The word council is almost never used in a good sense in the Bible. The only time it is in the millennium. All other times, it's used to stop the preaching of the gospel, or it's used to stop a preacher. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Got a little bit more time. And so these councils, you didn't want to be brought before them and accused. Look at what they did to Jesus, right? But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And so we know about Paul with Caesar and Agrippa, but eternity will reveal all those that were brought before governors and kings. Notice that the preaching is damning. It's damning these people. It's damning the governors. It's damning the kings. It's a witness against them. And you're sealing a person's doom when you witness to them. If you get a chance to witness to a king or to a judge or to a governor, and they reject the message, that you're brought before them and you give them the gospel and they reject it, you're sealing their doom. You're sealing their doom. However, your intention, we know that. Your intention should be that they would receive the message. So you want to give the message, and when you get in front of these people with the right attitude, with the right spirit, you don't want to be all mad and make it to where they don't want to believe, right? That's not the intent. The intent is that they would receive the message. But if they don't, it's a witness against them. It's a witness against them. Go with me, if you would, to Acts 4. Acts 4, 26. The Bible says, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles. And the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hands and thy counsel determined before to be done." And so they crucified Jesus Christ, right? In front of the kings, in front of the rulers, in front of the governors, in front of the Gentiles. And so the Bible said that this was going to happen to the disciples. And it happened to Jesus as well. These are quotes here from Psalms 2. Again, Jesus is telling his disciples how hard the ministry is going to be for them, right? Jesus isn't even immune to what he's telling his disciples. We know that. Jesus got crucified. Jesus isn't immune to this. The exact same thing that he's telling them is going to happen to them. And that Jew in the tribulation is going to have to be aware of men. Because if they don't take the mark of the beast, and we're going to see here in a little bit, they don't take the mark of the beast, they're going to be delivered up. Just like we were talking about. The councils made up rules and laws. Our country makes up rules and laws. And in the tribulation, they're going to have rules and laws, folks. Rules and laws that are so stringent. Hey, what did they do in Nazi Germany? If the Jews were caught in somebody's house, what did they do? They killed them. They killed them all. Why? Because they didn't want them doing it again. They knew if they would harbor them one time, they would harbor them again. Matthew 10:19. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak." Now, folks, you got to think about this for a second. Jesus isn't telling these disciples, "Hey, you're just going to stand in front of these councils and you're never going to know anything and you're just going to start speaking what the Lord wants." No. They were with Jesus Christ. They're hearing Jesus Christ's teachings. They're hearing what he says. They're hearing the words of God, all right? And so this is a spiritual principle where in the past you've laid up wisdom during the times when you could to be used in the future. They're sitting there. They're listening to Jesus. They're traveling with Jesus. They're seeing all the wonderful things that he's doing. And he's given them power to do these things. And so they've got the words of God right standing right there in front of them. And we've got the word of God right in front of us. Right? When we're in our Bible every day, when we're, hey, you don't know why you're, you don't know some of the stuff that's in the Bible. You're not going to understand it all. But eventually, what that's doing, what you're doing, is you're banking this up. You're banking spiritual things up in heaven. And there'll come a time. How many times have you guys come across a situation where you don't know how this verse got into your mind? It just, somebody said something and bam, there it was. Well, it wouldn't have gotten there if you hadn't have been reading your Bible. It wouldn't have gotten there if you hadn't have been coming to church. It would have gotten there if you hadn't been studying. Right? The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through or steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. What does Proverbs say about the Word of God? It's a treasure. And you're laying that up in heaven. As you go through, as you do your daily devotions, as you do your Bible readings, as you study the Word of God, as you listen to the preachings, you're laying up things in heaven, treasure. The Word of God is being laid up there in heaven. And there'll come a time where you're going to need it. And if you've laid it up, it'll be there for you. But if you didn't lay it up, you're going to be standing there going, abba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, right? You're not going to know what to say. If you sow to the Spirit spiritual things, you're going to reap spiritual things. And so that's the principle there, that these disciples have been with Jesus. They're hearing his teachings. And when they get delivered into councils, the Lord is going to bring back what they've heard. He's going to bring back to remembrance what they've heard, what they've been taught. And they'll know how to answer these people. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And we know the words of God, they are spirit and they are life. Right? So God's going to bring that back to them. People that supply spiritual needs to those in a tribulation will have their spiritual needs met when they get into trouble. That's the principle behind this. What is this happened to Paul? Paul supplied spiritual needs to others, and when Paul got in trouble, he appealed to Caesar, and who's said to be God on this earth, right? He's said to be God on this earth. He's the Pontius Maximus, the high priest of the Babylonian mysteries, and Paul had to go before him and speak. And Paul ministered throughout his ministry to other people. And when he got in front of this guy, what did he was able to give him? He gave him the gospel. And the Bible doesn't tell him what answer that he gave him. It doesn't say that. But it does say that at his first answer, nobody stood by him. He did give him the gospel, though. We know in 2 Timothy 4:16, we'll go there and then we'll be done. We'll have to pick up another time. It's amazing how fast time flies. 2 Timothy 4:16. The Bible says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Here they stand in front of people again. There's Gentiles there again. Rulers and governors he's standing in front of. And he's able to come up with an answer. It says right there, at my first answer. And what does he say? He's preaching to this guy. Now imagine. Why wouldn't these guys stick around? Why wouldn't these guys stick around? If you told a ruler or king, and you're in front of that he's a sinner and he's on his way to hell and that he needs to get right and believe in the gospel, what's that king going to do? Who are you to talk to me like that? Off with his head. And those that heard him say that to this king, this ruler, they didn't want anything part of it because they knew he was going to get his head chopped off and they didn't want to be around to get their head chopped off. So they took off. But the thing about it is if you help people when they need it, God's sending them, the disciples, out to help people. And he's saying, you're going to be in the midst of wolves, and when you're helping these people, and you're giving them the word and giving them the message, when the council gets a hold of you and you're in front of, and you need an answer, I'm going to give you help. You see the principle there? If you sow, you sow, you reap what you sow. If you try to help people, you're going to get help. If you try to hurt people, you're going to get hurt. And so that's the idea there, and that's the lesson there today. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pick up the next time. Man, how do we only get through a couple verses? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And we thank you, Lord, that you give them to us and that we can keep these things in the context and figure things out by your words, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that if there's any that's unsaved here today, that they would just they would trust in you as your for salvation, Lord. That you would become their Savior, and they would escape the judgment of God, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.